Welcome to Podcasts, recorded live at the Center for Spiritual Living in Portland, Oregon. We have many programs, classes, and workshops developed just for our online audience. To find out more, go to our website at cslportland.org and look under the Online tab. Our mission is to open hearts, ignite minds, and make a difference. If you'd like to support our center and its video podcast, you can donate online at cslportland.org/donate. Allow us to become part of your extended spiritual community. Wherever you are on your spiritual journey, you are most welcome at the Center for Spiritual Living.
Well, good morning. I'm Reverend Barbara Weiss, and I am so excited to be here today to share with you about this giant gentleness that we've been working on this month. And the global theme is a grand rising. So this past Sunday, Reverend Ruth and Reverend Kathy, the last two Sundays actually, have both been so calm when they've come up to speak. Even though last Sunday, and thank God, Kathy's the one who got that, she was talking about communities, activities, and politics. I'm glad she got that topic and not me. I don't think I would have been quite as calm as she was up here speaking. So when I prepare for a talk, I look through the guidelines and the information that's sent to me, and usually something happens prior to my talk that fits exactly in with it. It's no coincidence. Like, oh, you want to add a personal story? Well, here, how about have this happen? I'm looking forward to a time when the topic is, you are so filled with love that everything comes towards you in love and everything is love, which it all is always. And I can just imagine what would come. Anyway, so I do have some stuff that happened the last couple of weeks. So I've realized at times, and that was such a perfect song, that I'm not as gentle with myself as I could be some of the time. It's amazing as humans that we have that. But the topic today is moving us beyond judgment and embracing active compassion in our relationships with others. Such an easy topic, right? Have you noticed, or it could be just me, that people are lovely when they're kind and loving and how and what you want them to be, right? And then also that they're fickle, opinionated, and judgmental. They just can't help themselves, right? That's when everything gets screwed up. Well, at times I think that we want to, and I'll just say I want to blame others for things that might be going wrong, when in fact it's my own judgment that has gotten in the way. Darn it. Well, today we're going to look at oneness. And the knowing that each of us is a divine expression in human form. Our goal is to love our neighbor as ourselves. You know, there are only two things. There's a presence and a power bigger than all of us. And to love our neighbors as ourselves. That's in every single tradition around the world. Imagine what it would be like if we all followed those two steps. Always. There's a presence and a power, and to love your neighbor as yourself. Ernest Holmes in The Science of Mind said this: when you let the love that is within us go out to the God who is in all people, then we are loving God with all our heart, with all our souls and mind. Because we are recognizing that the spirit within us is the same spirit that we meet in others. This is loving our neighbors as ourselves. So how do we do this in relationship? Well, the first thing is to recognize mirrors, not the kind that you look in, see your reflection. The kind that you look in is a human form coming towards you, that the mirror that they create. Our relationships with other people are a challenge at times for that very foundation of our principles, because we are all erratic and unpredictable. That's part of the human thing. So the teaching says that our relationships are a mirror of actually our own ideas and beliefs. and our judgments. The only place from which you can interact with others looks just like you. Isn't that amazing? Being angry or hurt based on anybody else's actions or words or any other part of that is part of the human experience. But what is not so much about what they said or did, but about how we react. Think about that for a minute. In some of your relationships, life where you've had maybe some tension with somebody in a relationship, can you see the possibility that the emotions that you've had with that individual has more to do with your own experience? With your own experiences, therefore, they are the mirror. Let me tell you about my experience that just so happened, because I figured, okay, I need to have something to talk about, right? Like I ran out of ideas. A few weeks ago, I was actually starting to get sick. I could tell because the pollen. I know a lot of people here have been having allergy stuff going on, and I could feel it start to come down and maybe go into bronchitis. Well, I had my best friend from high school and her husband come up to visit me. And I hadn't seen her for a few years. And they came on a Monday and stayed through a Wednesday. So they were there for two nights. And I also have my 4.5-year-old granddaughter starting on Tuesday afternoon, overnight, all day Wednesday. So I had two people in the house and they brought their dog. Which is fine, I love animals. I just wasn't planning on another active energy there in the house. And my granddaughter. So I'm kind of just setting it up for my friend's husband. His sleep is really difficult. So he gets up like every 2 to 3 hours to go get a drink of water or something. And the first night they were there, it was fine. I had my door shut. I didn't really hear anything. I leave my window outside open so that air and noises from outside come in. The second night, so that night I slept okay, but the next night, this is when I have my granddaughter, I usually leave my door open a little, actually I leave it open all the way in case, for some reason, because she's had some night terrors, guess what they call bad dreams, never at my house has she had that, but she likes me to leave my door open, and so that's fine. So that night then, and I already wasn't feeling well, not getting enough sleep, that night, every time my friend's husband got up, I woke up. So I didn't have the most sleep in the world that next day. So I take my granddaughter, and she's very active. She's a redhead, so that says something. I mean, she's a Virgo. I'm a Sagittarian, but because of her red hair, I think she's a Sagittarian. She's a fire. She's just like so much fire and loving and caring. Right, Janet?
Yes.
She knows. My friend knows her. And we went to this park, and it is one of the most fun parks. It's in Hillsboro. I call it Troll Park, but it's like hidden something park. And it has this ginormous troll that you can go under and in and walk through and then climb up and come down this huge slide. Big park. It's all gated in. I don't know if anybody's been there. If you haven't, go, just because even as an adult, it's fun to look at the construction that went into this park, into this huge troll. So we went there, and before we go, we always have these agreements, even at 4, 4.5, I tell her, okay, what are our agreements? That when we're getting ready to go, I'll set my timer on my phone. When it goes off, 10-minute timer, then you hear it, and then you know it's time to leave. Okay, Nana. Okay, you got it, right? As soon as the timer goes off. Yes, Nana. Yeah, okay, right. Sure, Nana. So the timer goes off, and she was having so much fun. And I thought, you know, I'm going to give her 5 extra minutes. So I put it on for 5 minutes. And at this point, they have this huge sand area with a little creek running through it. The water isn't on right now this time of year. It's a little cold, but there's still sand she can play. So she had her shoes and socks on. So the timer went off for the second time. And I said, okay, Quinn, time to go. Let's get your shoes and socks on. And she actually came up right away to get her shoes and socks on. But once we did that, she didn't want to go. What a surprise. I mean, I wouldn't either, right? So here she begins to mirror my frustration, my tiredness, my really wanting to go, so that energy, the opposites, right? So she really doesn't want to go. The more I really want to go, she really doesn't want to go. And so I say, you know, Quinn, we had an agreement, and you're breaking the agreement right now, and I don't know when we're going to come back to this park. Like that's going to help solve anything, right, if I say that? Okay, well, if we're not going to come back here again, then I don't want to leave now. I mean, she doesn't say that, but you could see the hands on the hips and the little thing like that. And so I started to get even more frustrated, and I start walking out, and I said, come on, Quinn, we need to go. And so she kind of runs off to this little area in the grass, and I go to get her, and she runs off a little more. So I start to go out the gate, and she lets the gate close. I said, Quinn, we really need to get going. And I could see that there were some people around. This is what I love as parents or grandparents or people who are around kids. You know when an adult needs help. And this man comes up, and he has a stroller, a little one, and then another little one holding the hand. And so he sees what's going on. And he said to Quinn, hey, could you help me by opening the gate for me so that we can get out and I don't have to adjust things? And Quinn is like the first one for kindness. Kindness is a huge thing for her. She didn't do it. I was shocked because I think she got what was going on. So I open the gate for the guy. The guy walks out with all stuff, and I walk in the gate, and I go, Quinn, we're leaving. And I start to walk off, and she starts screaming, Nana! Of course, everyone in a two-mile radius can hear her. And it's like, I promise I'm not beating her up. I really am. I'm being fine. And she won't come. So I go back to the gate again. And then there's another woman with two little kids. And she says to Quinn, will you walk with my son to the car? Because he has to get something out of that. But I want him to have somebody to walk with him. And he was probably 4 years old, too. Quinn goes, grabs his hand. And they go and they walk across the street. And so I'm walking with them because they have to walk across this parking lot. And holding her hand, the kid gets his stuff. We turn around. She's holding his hand to come back. And then when he starts to walk off, I go to grab her hand. She won't take it. She runs off into another area. So I start to go after her. And she runs just out of my reach, constantly out of my reach. Well, I had gotten chilled while I was there at the park. Of course, she's running around getting totally warm. I'm getting chills, so now I'm even not feeling as well. I actually start crying. And I couldn't believe that she was doing that. But again, it reminded me of when I was little. I was third of four girls in our family, and I was the one who I would say had the most energy. So that was the mirror for me. I was seeing that energy in her too. And there was part of me, I don't think in that moment actually, been since then, that I was thinking, good for you, Quinn. You're being your own self-expression and yay, you're standing up for yourself. Not in that moment though. I want, you know, because how we grew up, it's wait till your father gets home. Well, I couldn't use that because it just doesn't work. And that's fine. She was expressing. So I finally went to the car, and I got in, and I backed out. And I can hear her screaming, nah, nah. And I wasn't going to leave. I was just going to come up to where she was so that she knew that I was serious. I mean, it was freaking me out that I actually got in the car and started driving because, I don't want anything to happen to her, but she was in this island part, and I didn't want her to get out. And there were cars. Luckily, there weren't that many people there. There weren't a lot of cars. So I drove up to where she was. I got out, and she immediately came to me. And I'm like, thank you, God. Because I don't know what I would have done. I really don't. So I get her in the car, and this is where I actually did have some patience. Because I got her in the car. If I didn't have her in the car, I don't know if I would have had that patience. But right away, I called her dad on the phone, and I said, okay, well, I hope you're ready for me to bring Quinn home because this is what happened, and she wasn't hanging with our agreements, and so I'm ready to drop her off. It was like one of the first time I really sat and was gentle with myself and took care of myself. It's like I can't handle a 4-and-a-half-year-old right now. I just can't. Of course, there's part of me in my mind talk about not being gentle. You can't even handle a 4-and-a-half-year-old? what is wrong with you? Like, what? But, you know, I realized all the things that I was tired and whatnot. I'm working on gentleness. So we talked as I was in the car with her, and I said, okay, Quinn, these are the things that didn't happen. And she said, she started crying. I want to go see the kitties. My friend has kitties that we get to go visit. I want to go home and make cake. I want to go to your house. I want to da, da, da. And I said, I know you do. I know you do. I get it. But we had an agreement, and you broke the agreement. And so I'm going to take you home. Banana, you know, on and on and on. Goes through this whole thing. So I end up taking her home. And I realized that I just really need to give myself some compassion and some love and some tenderness. So the message for each of us in any of these circumstances, even when that person is a mirror, it's pretty clear that whatever happens to us isn't our fault, but how we react is, and what we can do about that. We're all the creative genius of our own path. So I can shift that and look at it as an experience of learning and growth for myself, at the same time as being a responsible adult and letting my granddaughter see that there are consequences for things in our lives, and to be that adult so that she recognizes it. But then there's also that awareness of being gentle, of that gentleness, that we're defining that for ourselves. And so not to bother beating ourselves up, if we have to, just for a little bit, and then go on. Start fresh, move forward, take it as an experience. Because the more we love ourselves, the more that we are love out in the world, and the more others love themselves. And then that's what comes back around. That love, love, love that Laurent just sang about. So we are proof that love exists because we do care. I kind of like this solution, frankly, that I read on the internet about dealing with some people. I'm seriously considering filling my pockets with glitter. So when someone near me says something really stupid or rude, I'll just reach into my pocket and with a deadpan expression, release the glitter into the air above their head and watch it shower over them like a baptism of common sense. Poof for you, poof for you. I mean, would that be cool? No, no, okay, we can't do that. Can we?
Why not?
Yeah, really? I mean, wouldn't that be great? Here, for you, just some common sense. So what do we do then when we realize that somebody is being a mirror for us, and then how do we move on? It's through active compassion. I hear that again. Active compassion. Not just sitting there like, okay, maybe I'll start having some compassion. It's actively being compassionate. Realizing that people are always doing the best that they can in any given time. It may not seem like that at times, especially for me when I'm so frustrated. It's like, Quinn, I know you can do better than this. Yeah, but I'm mirroring you. You can too. So when we apply that compassion to ourselves, while we may not have appreciated what we did or what we said, we can comprehend that we are being human, and that's part of the humanness. Active compassion leads to a better understanding of the truth. Now, compassion doesn't mean that people get free rein over how to treat us. Not at all. It doesn't mean that we always have a full understanding of why they do what they do. I do forgive people. It doesn't mean I accept their behavior or trust them again, which is, I think, for all of us. It means that I forgive them for me so that I can let go and move on. Because if I don't forgive, then I'm holding on to that. And then the next time I come into a situation with somebody, that soul energy is already there. So what's going to happen? That person's going to mirror that energy back to me. I'd much rather show up with love. The Dalai Lama said, the moment you develop a sense of concern for others, you realize that just like ourselves, they also want happiness. They also want satisfaction. Isn't that true? So when I was in the car with Quinn then, I was gently talking to her about the consequences and what would happen next time. Now, don't get me wrong. I know there will be a next time. I know that. She's only 4 and a half. We have a lot of years to go. But that evening, and I had only told her dad part of what had gone on, but that evening, he called and he said, Quinn wants to talk to you. I said, okay. FaceTime. So she's like totally out of the picture. I can't even see her. And I can hear him say, Quinn, do you want to talk to Nana? And you kind of hear, yeah. So she kind of gets in the picture and she's just goofing around. That's fine. But I set a boundary. I said, okay, well, when Quinn really wants to talk to me, call back. And I hung up. Because I thought, no, she doesn't need to, I don't need to spend my time waiting for her to figure out what she wants to do. So they called back about 10 minutes later. Called back. And she was right there on the phone. Nana, I'm so sorry for the way I acted today and that we got in a fight. That's the words that they use. We got in a fight. And I know fighting isn't good. And I said, that's right, Quinn. And she said that again. And then she's off into a tangent of, oh, guess what I got? I got this new toy. And I'm thinking, oh, to be 4 and a half. I mean, are you mirroring me? Please say you're mirroring me by letting go and moving on, right? Oh, my gosh. But it was so sweet, just so sweet. So act compassion then requires focus and intention. So when your intention is to let people into your lives be themselves and to love them for who they are, then that's the gentle reminder of who they are and who you are. So after recognizing that other people are mirrors for us, oh, thank you, and that the way we connect with them is through active compassion, then the next best thing to do is giving space. Giving space. From a 360 view, such as from the top of a high building, the world looks a lot different, doesn't it? Don't things look a lot different when you give yourself that space? Sometimes it's the perspective that we need in order to develop deeper relationships with individuals. When we're too close, things might feel muddled or confusing, I think, at times. So loving and respecting ourselves means being clear on what works for us and what doesn't. And loving and respecting ourselves and others and giving each of us space to figure out what we're not clear on. So taking those feelings into meditation or prayer or going to therapy or a journal, journaling, anything like that, a way to help understand the space that's been created and looking out over where we have the mirrors and the judgment and that type of thing. Because I can say I tend to take myself sometimes too seriously. I know some of you can't believe that. But I think we all do at times. Often the result of taking space is the realization that there's something personal happening and that I want to look at that. That the person in question or people are human, just the same as I am, and we all make mistakes. So for whatever reason, it's time to love someone from a distance, and that's okay. To actually give yourself that physical space and distance. With my granddaughter, I decided to not have her the following week because I still wasn't feeling great. But that, I knew that that would give me even more space to really understand what had gone on and to be gentle with myself in that, knowing that I wanted to be the best that I could be when I was around her. So I had a longer conversation with my son about what happened. And I honestly felt terrible when I got in the car and started driving. Even though I was going to her, I thought, oh my gosh, I'm going to break her heart. So I was telling my son about her running away from me and, you know, I couldn't catch her. And he said, oh yeah, she does that for me too, but I'm faster. I said, oh, thank you so much. And then I said, you know, I told him, I tell on myself all the time. Nobody ever has to tell on me because I tell on myself. And I said, well, I also at one point got in the car and started driving off. He said, oh, I've done that too. So I felt so much better, though, because I wasn't the only one. You know, I thought, oh, wow. I thought, well, okay, well, that driving off, trying to catch her, all that, she's going to be scarred for life for this. And I said, maybe I should start a journal for her for when she gets to be an adult and goes to a therapist. Journal entry, 4.5 years old. Nana drove off without me. And now I feel abandoned and I have anxiety. Oh, and my dad did too. Don't you think that would be a good idea to start a journal for her? Oh my gosh. So I didn't see her for 2 weeks. And then when I did again, it was interesting. I picked her up at daycare. And usually she like runs just full on board towards me. Nana, she ran towards me, but she wouldn't look me in the eye. She got her stuff, and as we were leaving, she finally looked at me in the eye, and she said, Nana, I'm so sorry. And this is 2 weeks later. That's a long time for a 4.5-year-old. She said, I'm so sorry that we got in a fight. And I said, well, thank you, Quinn. I really appreciate that. I said, you know, I was in tears, and she said, I know, Nana, and I'm sorry. So I ended up taking her back to the park. Why? No. We did a reset, and she understands that. She knows what reset means. And it's that giving myself that distance, that time apart, and how I so miss her when I don't get to see her every week. I realized that I had cleared myself of that energy that I had that she was mirroring for me. And the energy I then had was, I love you so much, I'm so excited to be at this park with you. And we went back to the park, she had a blast. And it was one of those days where I didn't even really look at the clock and say, oh yeah, we need to get going. I just kind of let it be. And so that's how she was. And finally she heard some other parents talking to one of their little ones, and they were leaving the park and apparently going to get a smoothie. Nana, can we go and get a smoothie? And I thought, and I hadn't even said it's time to go. So I said, well, find out where they're going. Well, I can't, but will you ask them? So I heard them say Jamba Juice. So I'm looking on my phone trying to figure out the nearest one. I couldn't find one there, but I knew that there was one near my house, and I was heading to take her home. So we went to Jamba Juice. We got her dad one because I was dropping her off at home. We got her one. We sat outside and chatted for a little bit before I got back in the car to take her home. And it was one of the most joy-filled times I have had with her in 4.5 years. She's an amazing mirror for me. Act of compassion helped for me to understand her, for her to understand me, and then giving each other that space, that two-week space, reset everything for us, everything. And I got to have that little one that I know is who she is right there in front of me again. So while we are indeed one energy, all humans, we are individualized expressions of whatever that looks like. However that comes, giving ourselves space and time to figure out what is right for us and the healthiest thing for us is one of the greatest things we can do for ourselves and others. So today, as we apply this gentleness to our interactions with others, we can truly allow them to be gentle with themselves. Again, it's that mirroring. If we're gentle with ourselves, they see that mirror as well. Doesn't matter what age. We can all be more gentle with ourselves. And from that place, we can both make clear decisions in our lives. We are one, truly one. So let's continue then to build this giant of gentleness this month and continue on. And it's not exclusively independent of others. In fact, we are never alone, ever. Being in a relationship with others provides us with some of the most exhilarating experiences in our lives. And they can also be tedious and downright frustrating. And that's the human experience. So recognizing this oneness then, it gives us time to have introspection. Look and see what judgments we might have and how that's reflected in our relationships. Loving ourselves is also loving the other. Loving the other is loving ourselves. So all relationships are sacred and holy. The gentleness in how we see those around us as well as ourselves is very important in living each and every day. The gentleness then, as we recognize it and are that, expands and grows and comes back to us tenfold or more. So practicing it keeps it alive for us and sends out those subtle reminders to everyone else in the world. On the internet, I read, maybe someday we will finally see that all the crap that life has thrown at us was really fertilizer for our own growth. Is that so true? All the crap that life has thrown us is really fertilizer for our own growth. Well, let's grow together in love and gentleness as we continue to move forward through this thing called life. And so it is. So. Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed today's podcast. If you happen to be in the Portland, Oregon area, we'd love to have you visit in person. The Portland Center for Spiritual Living is located at 6211 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard. Our inspirational service is at 11 a.m. every Sunday. We also have many programs, classes, and workshops developed just for our online audience. To find out more, go to our website at cslportland.org. and look under the online tab. We have a variety of content dedicated specifically for our podcast listeners. Our mission is to open hearts, ignite minds, and make a difference. If you'd like to support our center and its podcasts, you can donate online at cslportland.org/donate. Our website is also the place to learn more about what's going on at the center or to contact us. Allow us to become part of your extended spiritual community. Wherever you are in your spiritual journey, you are most welcome at the Center for Spiritual Living.